Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have as our guest today, Representative, Florida Representative from District 1, Mike Hill. We're delighted that he has taken his time to discuss these things with us today that I believe we need to have a little greater insight. Congressman, thank you for being our guest today. I'm looking at an article that says, and I don't agree now with Robert Kennedy Jr. with 99% of his position theologically, biblically, and politically, but he's right on target with this. This article says Robert Kennedy Jr. claims Bill Gates owns the World Health Organization. He says here Kennedy claimed that Gates provided 10% of the World Health Organization budget and said that he begs, WHO begs and rolls over for Gates' fundings. Robert Kennedy called Bill Gates, said he owns the World Health Organization, and called the Microsoft founder the most powerful man in public health today. And Kennedy went on to say in this article, Kennedy said that the World Health Organization used the employ of policy of eliminating disease by eliminating poverty. He said the best way of eliminating disease was by providing impoverished countries with adequate resources like clean water, sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. However, he alleges that Bill Gates has now shifted his approach. Kennedy claims that Gates has shifted the World Health Organization toward eradicating disease through vaccination and through population control. He further says half the World Health Organization budget goes toward Gates' polio vaccine program, according to Kennedy, who alleges the vaccine is actually spreading polio. And I've got a fistful of articles that validates what Robert Kennedy says about Gates and his polio vaccine in India and other countries, where it's literally either paralyzed or killed, murdered, I want to use the term, thousands upon thousands of people in India and other countries. And as a result of it, there are several suits that's pending in the global courts against Bill Gates and the Melinda Gates Foundation for that. Tell us what your position is, Congressman, or your thoughts in relationship to Bill Gates and his coming up with the vaccine and wanting to vaccine the whole world. And what would that connote, and how would we stand as Americans in that picture?
Well, first of all, I would say I agree with President Trump's position that the U.S. should no longer fund the World Health Organization. That if Bill Gates, as a private citizen, wants to do that, that's his money and he can do it. But taxpayers' funds should not be going to an organization which has lost its original focus, which has instead become a political arm of those who that supports primarily China First. And if there's an organization that is supporting China First, that goes directly against President Trump's agenda of America First, and we as taxpayers should not be paying for that. Now, it's known that if you give someone a shot of a vaccine, you're actually giving them a part of that disease with the intent of your body building up a natural immunity against it. And that has worked in some cases, and in others it has not. A classic example of that is the common flu. Every year they tell you to get a flu shot, a flu vaccine shot, but the flu still comes back every year. And what we have to recognize, I believe, Dr. Youngblood, is that it is not the government's responsibility to prevent me from getting sick. That is an individual responsibility. Government has no authority anywhere to try and stop me from getting sick. You have to allow people the freedom of taking care of their own bodies, of learning what's best in their own community to stop the spread of diseases. And as you had mentioned, things such as clean water, clean sanitation, that is what will mitigate the spreading of diseases, not these vaccines that Bill Gates and the World Health Organization want to make mandatory.
Well, I find it fascinating and yet so biblically intriguing that the vaccine that Bill Gates, in fact, most not aware of that, but with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he owns and or controls about 9 pharmaceutical places or houses, you'd call it, of research and development. And 2 or 3 of those, he already has the fast track for a vaccine. And one of them being that which would put an invisible chip under the skin to be able to, as he says, and I'm quoting Bill Gates, would be able to trace a person wherever he may be on the globe and will be able to buy a uplink satellite, would be able to take that person's individual's temperature and determine if he is potential carrier of a pathogen that he could then be quarantined, isolated, quarantined, and treated to prevent him from spreading to others. That's his global desire, and that's the approach that he's taking with what he's pushing now for the vaccine. And I'm looking at an article, for example, in 2000, he did the oral polio vaccine, and he carried that out in several other countries, third world countries, India in particular. And it was finally dropped because of so many deaths and so many that were getting sick. This article says the children were forced to take the vaccine. A child is fine. A child gets vaccinated. A child gets sick. Then he dies. Is there a correlation? Yes. And it goes on to speak of the fact that in several of the places in Africa, states in Africa, that they were forced, Bill Gates' vaccine was forced upon the female population. And as a result of that, they were either they died or were totally sterilized for life. And that's the approach that he's taking. Here's a question, though, Congressman. I'm looking at an article that says Alan Dershowitz. Most everybody knows that name, considered a premier constitutionalist. He states that the state has the right, and I'm reading the headline, state has the right to plunge a needle in your arm. Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz claims in an interview that the government has a constitutional right under the 10th Amendment to forcibly vaccinate all citizens to curb the spreading of any contagious disease. Quote, he says, let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and to spread a disease. Even if you disagree, you have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open your business, end quote. How do you respond to that, Congressman?
I think he is completely and emphatically wrong. What we have instead is he turned the 10th Amendment upside down. The 10th Amendment says that the power belongs to the states and to the people. It doesn't say it belongs to the government. It belongs to the people. And if a person wants to be free and not wear a mask, government has no authority to force you to do so. Now, again, the whole reaction to this virus has been wrong. First of all, what we should have done was to practice clean hygiene. That's just common sense, proper washing of hands and hygiene and so forth, clean hygiene. Then we should protect the vulnerable and the susceptible. And we know who that is. Those are people who are 65 and older and primarily who are in nursing homes. And then allow the rest of the population to continue life as usual. There are reports coming out now, medical reports saying that wearing masks are not effective, that in fact it could be damaging.
Yes,
and
that's
as
right.
You state, forcing someone to get a vaccination can cause them harm. In fact, we have a law in the United States which protects companies from being sued for vaccinations that go wrong. And there is a trust fund set up in the U.S. where someone who has been injured because of a vaccine can apply for that funding. It's very cumbersome. It takes a long time. And since that was instituted about 30 years ago, that fund has paid out over $4.8 billion to individuals and families who have been injured. So as much as I admire the person who wrote that, they are emphatically wrong.
I find it fascinating as this article reads the one that was interviewing him asked him whether or not the government can decide that you need a vaccination and you can be vaccinated without your permission. Dershowitz says, absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power, the authority, to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge the needle into your arm, end quote. I find that antithetical to anything that would be called constitutionality for the United States of America. And for a man that's supposed to be a constitutionalist and a lawyer, I find it somehow antithetical to what the Constitution says and what he's saying that it says in that sense. And I am concerned that we have a lot of folks in America that believe that if the government says you need to be vaccinated, you need to be vaccinated. And yet, as you touched on a moment ago, Congressman, even with the flu, there are some flu vaccines that will have as low as 4%, and the maximum strength and protection of any of the flu vaccines thus far, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, the maximum strength of protection would be upward of 40%. And even with that, according to my material that I have researched, the older you are, and this is so antithetical to what people believe, the older you are, the less effective that the vaccine generally has in protecting you from the virus for the common flu.
Right.
Here is the question that I want our listeners to understand and that I want the two of us to delve into for a while. Here's an article that says, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx used Imperial College model, now confirmed as a complete fraud, to persuade President Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy. Are you familiar with the Professor Ferguson and his data set that he was working under the banner of Imperial College in London and put the data out that projected 2.2 million people would die in America? He projected different models for different nations, but for America, that's what he said. Let me just read for our listeners, and then you and I can comment. Dr. Tony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx used the Imperial College model to persuade President Donald Trump to lock down the entire U.S. economy. The fraudulent model predicted 2.2 million Americans' deaths from the coronavirus pandemic. The authors of the Imperial College model shared their findings with the White House Coronavirus Task Force in early March. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx then met with the president privately and urged him to shut down the U.S. economy and destroy the record that Trump had set in the economy. A new critique of the Imperial College model finds the study is completely unusable and absolutely fraudulent. According to the study, it is a complete sham, end quote. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx pushed a garbage model on the White House and the American public and therefore destroyed the entire U.S. economy. And the article is about a 10-page article. It goes on to say, as reported last week in mid-April, Dr. Fauci admitted that he and Dr. Birx had persuaded President Trump to lock down the U.S. economy, knowing the massive destruction this would cause in jobs and lives and in commerce. President Trump then admitted during a press conference in April, quote, two very smart people came into my office and urged me to lock down the economy, or 2.2 million Americans would die from the coronavirus. It is, end quote. And what he did not say in that public statement, it was Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. And they were going from this Professor Ferguson's data set. And by the way, for our listeners, and you may be familiar with this, Congressman, as a result of that data set, there were four Democrat legislators in America, and I don't have the article before me with their names, that then republished under a new website. And it's called COVID Now Act, COVID-19 Now Act. And that's the resource material that most mayors across America had gone to, thinking that somehow that was authoritative. And it was pushing this same false data from Professor Ferguson. Let me read this before we dialogue on it. In the report described how Imperial College researcher, including Neil Ferguson, shared their projections with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, the White House Coronavirus Task Force, they even sent a copy of their report to the task force before the release was made of his findings. And this is the summary of that. Sweeping new federal recommendations announced on Monday for Americans to sharply limit their activities appeared to draw on a dire scientific report warning that without action, the government and individuals to slow the spread of the coronavirus suppress new cases of 2.2 million people in America would die. To curb the epidemic, there would need to be drastic restrictions on work, school, social gatherings for a period of time until the vaccine was available, which could take up to 18 months, according to the report. Compiled by the British researcher, they cautioned that such steps carried enormous costs that could also affect people's health, their lives, and concluded this would be their only viable strategy for the current time, end quote. So what I'm saying is, Congressman, a data set put into a computer by a professor in the Imperial College in London became the material that was used on a global basis to cause the panic and a pandemic that, based on the material and the information that I've researched, should have never been used to devastate our nation. One article says, decisive COVID-19 model, the most devastating software mistake in all time, end quote. Are you familiar with that, and how do you respond to that, and what should we know?
Yes, I am familiar with that, Dr. Youngblood, and what a disaster, what a tragedy that based on one person's input into a computer model, that would be used as a basis for shutting down the economy of not only the U.S., but around the world. And what I hope that we have learned from that is should something happen in the future based on some model, that model is going to be given a lot more scrutiny before it is acted upon. What I believe we are seeing, Dr. Youngblood, is an intentional, I'm not sure it started out that way, but an intentional disruption of our economy.
Yes.
So that it affects how people perceive President Trump and to stop his reelection. I don't think that was the original intent, but once they saw the effect that it was having, now they're trying to stretch it out as long as possible and blame it on President Trump. That's what our media is doing. Even though if you look at the facts, President Trump himself did not stop the economy. He turned it over to the governors of each state, which constitutionally he should have done, and told them, you decide which measures you want to take. And he gave them some action steps to consider. But it was up to each state whether or not they wanted to. And that's why the state of South Dakota did not do it. And South Dakota's per capita COVID cases have been lower than just about any other state. And those states which have responded to reopening our economy, that they are not seeing a spike in the number of COVID cases and are seeing less number of COVID cases than those states that are continuing with the draconian lockdown. So
yes.
I think what we have learned is that should something happen again in the future, that it will be scrutinized, this model, much more stringently than what we just saw happen.
I pray that that is the case. Congressman, hold on just a moment. We have another caller that we need to entertain his question. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, for taking my call. This is Raymond Johnson again with Biblical Concepts Ministries. And may I say hello and thank you to Representative Hill. This is the first time I've communicated with you, and I want to say that I appreciate you. I've been following you for a while and standing with you with all the attacks that you've faced over the last while. So thank you for your service, sir. I do want to just make a quick announcement. We'll talk about it maybe more another day, but it does go along with the very conversation that we're having today. I kind of view this as just an overview of really what's going on with this globalist movement and what they're doing with this manipulation of the pandemic. Just last night, sort of a breaking news story, I'll mention this and you guys can discuss it. We had a school board meeting last night, And the superintendent just suddenly decided, without real discussion, to put an item on the agenda. And this item was nearly going to be passed on a consent agenda, except for our one conservative school board member, thankfully, from the west side of Jacksonville, Charlotte Joyce, pulled that for discussion. She was the lone vote against this particular item. But this item was to spend $300,000 of tax, the school board funding for Duval County to purchase masks for all the students and teachers and faculty. Okay, and during this discussion, now that alone is its own issue, but that's not the point I want to make. What I want to focus on is during this discussion, something a big thing was really revealed. A school board member, Ashley Smith Juarez, comments, and she tries to soothe everybody and say, "Oh, I hear you. I understand your concerns." Every single public comment that was read was opposed. Nearly everyone. They really got hammered from public comment with this idea of spending this money for these masks. But this is what was revealed. The school board member literally stated that we need to be our brother's keeper. This is quote, in quote, prepare for this new world order. My wife and I heard it. We nearly fell out of our chairs. The woman said it out of her own mouth. I immediately went to the school board website, pulled her bio, and found that she is working for the Clinton Health Initiative. I went directly to their website and pulled their financials, put their tax returns, posted right on their website. So it does show you have Bill Clinton, and this is one of the Hillary, not Hillary, but Chelsea Clinton is working for. They're tied in directly with Bill Gates and all these things. They have given hundreds of thousands of dollars. I was unsure. A money transfer between the WHO and this Clinton organization, I was confused of who gave the money, but there was a transfer of hundreds of thousands of dollars right on their own tax returns between the two organizations. So my point is that this movement, this new world order, that they're open, they're not hiding, and so it's reached all the way into, they've bought into our Duval County School Board, and what are they doing? Pushing to spend your money for these masks.
Yes. That's well, I appreciate point. You we'll calling and letting later. Us, giving us that update, and that ties in very well, as you said, what we're saying today. But thank you so much for that insight. Let me go to our congressman. Does that seem normal or rational, Congressman? Because what we're seeing is, let me couch it this way. I think we're setting the stage in America for it to be accepted by most bureaucrats, and unfortunately, many, if not most, of our politicians today, that we are in a new era, that we are in a global scenario for global governance. And so they're making decisions based on that rather than looking at the sovereignty of our nation. How do you respond to that?
Well, first, I want to thank the caller for calling in with his comments and that enlightenment. And it's not surprising that the Clinton Foundation would be involved with this entire thing. Wherever there seems to be widespread and large amounts of corruption, the Clintons and George Soros seem to be not far behind. And as I say, who have also been exposed is Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci, who, by the way, worked on the Clinton Foundation at one
yes.
time. So they're all being exposed at this time. Now, Dr. Youngblood, you know this because I know you are a student and a teacher of our Bible, but the book of Revelation makes it pretty clear that at the end times or during the tribulation, there's going to be a one world government. So
yes.
it seems that we are just marching in that direction, and we can resist it all, but it has already been decreed, it's been prophesied that it is going to happen. I just hope and pray that it's not anytime soon to where either we will have to live through it or our children and grandchildren. It's a scary situation, and I would say even though it may state that that's where we're going, we have the ability, the authority, and the right to resist it at every step of the way.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, falling of the rapture of the church. The Antichrist, the one that's called the lawless one, the man of sin, will step on the scene and will dominate this globe with an iron fist and a global governance. And in that global governance, there will be the position, according to Revelation chapter 13, that you can't buy, sell, or trade, or, as I've used the term, can't even open your own business without the government's authority and or having the mark that is required for identification. But I am thankful that, as you say, Congressman, we see that, we know that, and we have the responsibility, biblically speaking, to resist it and to stand for biblical truth and for what God would have us to do. Congressman, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. I would like for you to share with our listeners further information about yourself. You're in a race for your seat this year. And tell our listeners how we can become involved, what we can do to assist you, pray for you, help you financially, and to encourage others to vote for you in your district.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I really appreciate that. And yes, people can learn about me by going to votemikehill.com. That's votemikehill.com. And you will see where I stand on many issues, on a variety of issues. And you're also able to make a donation, contribute to my campaign, which is so needed and would be much appreciated, because I do have a primary opponent. The establishment have put someone to run against me simply because I am so firm in my conservative constitutional beliefs and stands. They say I'm too dogmatic, and they want someone who they can control. So if those who are listening will go to votemikehill.com, click on the donate button, and any amount would be greatly appreciated and much needed.
I would second that, ladies and gentlemen, say vote for Mike Hill. Go to votemikehill.com and donate that he might have the resources to win the election, put him back in office representing us in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.